We need a real investigation. I don't think we have one yet.
Yes, it's true. And yes, it is a crime.
Well, thank you, Cleta Mitchell. Thank you for that explanation. Really interesting and kind of appalling.
Thank you,
really.
Tucker.
Cleta Mitchell is somebody with great courage, and she's involved with your litigation and lawsuits and all of this stuff. She literally gave up her whole practice not to get paid. She saw how corrupt it was, how disgusting it was, how dirty it was. And I want to thank you on behalf of everybody in this room and everybody in this country. You are a hell of a lawyer and tough. And that's what we need.
Welcome to this week's episode of Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. This is a podcast about all things having to do with elections, election integrity, how elections are supposed to be run, how many times they are run in a way where they're not supposed to be run, and what we as citizens can do to make sure that our elections are conducted in accordance with law and ensures that the proper outcome. It doesn't matter. In my view, look, I always have my candidates that I'm for and the ones I'm for and the ones I'm against. But in the final analysis, I just want to be sure that the outcome is what the majority of people decided they wanted it to be. To me, that's the most important thing. And that's what our podcast is about. That's what the Election Integrity Network is all about. So we hope that you will listen to the podcast, share it with friends, subscribe, visit our website, www.whoscounting.us, and learn about how you can become an engaged citizen in the election integrity movement. Today, I'm extremely happy to introduce you to Raj Doraisamy, who is an engaged citizen in the state of Florida, who's built not only a wonderful project here in Florida, a movement here in Florida, Defend Florida, but also created a network nationwide of citizen patriots who are concerned about the integrity of our elections. So, Raj, thank you so much for being here with us today on Who's Counting?
Oh, Cleta, thank you for inviting me. Thanks for inviting all of my colleagues here. We're just so delighted to be here at your event here in Orlando. So, thank you.
Thank you, Raj. Now, Raj, before we start talking about elections, I want to hear about you. I want to hear about your family. I want to hear about your background. Tell us about Raj.
Oh, well, thank you. As you can probably tell, I was not born in this country. I was actually born in Ethiopia.
In
Northern Africa. And from there, my parents moved to Zambia, which is towards the middle of the continent, and then moved to Zimbabwe. So those are the three countries I was in before coming to the United States. And that's going to be important in a minute, because the things that I saw there is what I see here now. In a way, I'm coming from your future. But we'll talk about that later. But I had an opportunity to come to the United States.
And how old were you when you came here?
I was 18.
18.
And I came here as a student. That's how I was able to come to the United States.
Your parents did not come when you did?
They did not.
Okay.
They sent me and I came. It was the first time I've been away from my family.
Oh, my God.
And first time I traveled alone. So you never know what you're able to do. You really are not. We don't know what we're able to do until we do it. And that was certainly the case there. But the reason I was able to do that is the college where I attended school.
Which was?
Oral Roberts University.
Oh, really?
In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
My husband used to be on the Board of Regents there many years ago.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, we're from Oklahoma.
Small. I didn't know that.
Oh, my. That's right.
Small world. So that it's a phenomenal school, fantastic school. I started accounting there. But the tuition there cost almost half of my dad's annual salary.
Oh, my.
The only way I was able to come into this country is because of the generosity of an American evangelist. And unsolicited, he told my dad, send Raj over, we'll take care of everything.
Really?
And that is a generosity that's built this country. It's a generosity I see in all the patriots here, and that's how I was able to come here. But when I came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, go to school and study accounting, I met this phenomenal young lady. Her name was Cherie. I think my first week of school. And I mentioned that because a year after I graduated, she and I got married, and we came down to Florida, which is another great move. And we have three amazing, amazing children, adults now. And I am a CPA, but for work, I have a software development company and a digital marketing company.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's what I was doing up until everything went sideways just recently.
And 2020.
Yeah.
So you were not involved in politics or public policy or anything. You were running your businesses, just being a good father, good husband, good Christian, good American. And so tell us about your journey into the election integrity movement.
So my kids, my wife, that amazing lady, Cherie, that I mentioned earlier, she would take our three kids when they were just small, and they would wave signs for local elected officials. They're part of the small homeschool group. They'd have the sheriff come in, they'd have elected officials come in. Not some of the people that are senators now were not, and my kids canvassed for those folks back then when they're small. But I was not involved with any of that at all. In fact, I had this idea that someone else is going to take care of all of that. Mm-hmm. And even when President Trump got elected and I began to see, man, this guy is getting stuff done. He is just a get stuff done kind of guy. His tweets are mean, but you know what? His actions are generous. His actions are productive. His actions are kind. I sure would love to get back to someone who may have mean tweets, but his actions are good for everyone else. But I skip ahead of myself. So even when I saw him doing what he was doing, I figured, you know what? President Trump, he's got this under control. I can keep doing what I'm doing because I'm so busy, over busy. But my wife kept asking me to go to these things called rallies.
Really?
And I'm like, ah. Oh,
not rally. Another one.
Yeah. Finally, I don't know why, I said yes. In fact, I actually know why. It was a rally taking place in St. Petersburg. It was going to be by the water. It was a Trump rally for Trump, President Trump. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go there and we'll get some good footage that I can use in my media company. This is good. Now I'm going to go.
And marketing.
So, Cleta, I go there and I'm interviewing folks. And I was shocked. I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was. Okay, this is the kind of guy I was. I had all these preconceived notions, right, of politics and activism and all of that. I didn't want to be involved with that. What I was shocked by is how positive every one of those people were that I interviewed at that rally, how well-spoken they were, how they articulated their position. No one was angry or mad. And I thought, I love this. I love this.
And you love those people.
Yes. So here's what happened. The rally finished around 12 o'clock.
I got midnight.
No, this was a morning event.
Okay.
Yeah, so it finished around 12 o'clock. It was a boat event.
Oh, okay.
Cliff Gephardt, you guys might know him. He's a patriot that he, anyway, I get off track, but Cliff Gephardt, shout out to you, Cliff. Your event is what got me here. So after that event finished, I got on my phone. I saw there's got to be another event rally happening somewhere here. So I kid you not, I found another one. This was a car parade.
Right.
So I drove over there, and really the rest is history. I just got in love with these people. They were so positive. I went to rally after rally after rally. But in terms of how things turned, November elections happened. We saw what happened. And we were like, we're struggling with it. So we've got to do something with how the election was being managed from our point of view. What we began to see on TV, what we began to know, the gap between what was being reported and what was actually happening because of what we had actually seen firsthand. And so we had this idea called the Red Wave. The Red Wave TV. Literally, four of us were on a phone call. And someone said, hey, let's do something we'll call the Red Wave. And I said, okay, that sounds good. I'm not sure what it is. But we started collecting data about what actually happened with the voting process. And we aggregated it on a website. It's still out.
Now, tell me what that means.
You
collected it. Where did you collect it? What was it?
Yeah, good. So we said the way things are going with the misreporting of the election and the lack of accuracy, we have to create one place where the public can go and they can see not opinions, not editorials, but actual video of mismanagement.
Oh.
And so we began to solicit video of mismanagement, video of people taking ballots and dumping them in the trash can, video of ballots that are being run through multiple times.
In Georgia. Fulton County.
Yes.
That was part of our lawsuit.
Yes. And you, I didn't know you at the time.
That's
you were
right.
Leading the fight.
Right.
In Georgia.
So, you know, they still say, I have to stop.
Yeah.
Do you know that the Secretary of State and all these people, they still contend that somehow we doctored that?
video.
That video is what you see in that video, you're not really seeing. That they still say
it's
that.
It's remarkable.
Isn't it?
It is remarkable. And this is a huge reason. I'm going to go off script here. It's a huge reason, folks, you're watching this. You got to share this podcast, whoscounting.us. You have got to share it with other people. The information that Cleta's covering, the people that she's interviewing with, more people have to know and hear about it. It's not something we could do. It's something you must do. Anyway,
Thank you.
Yeah, it's what's required right here, right now. So that's what we did, the Red Wave TV. We're collecting all this video information.
And what's that website? Is it still live?
It's stagnant, but it's still. I looked at it yesterday and, the website's still here. The redwave.tv.
Redwave.tv.
Yeah,
we should link the redwave.tv.
Red
we need a link to that.
Yeah, and it had all this effort. But here's why I brought that up. And this is going to be a little, I'll just be blunt with you folks, because I'm sure you're watching Cleta's show for a while. You're part of the family, I would say. So I just want to be blunt. We did a lot of productive work at the redwave.tv. At the end of the day, it was ineffective because January happened and we are in the current situation because we and others who were trying to do what we're trying to do were not effective in getting the result we wanted back then. Mm-hmm. So the importance of connecting with whoscounting.us is this. It's not that you need something else to do. It's that you need to be doing something that delivers results. That's key, and that's why you got to be connected with whoscounting.us. So after all of that happened, just to finish that story off, when on January 7th, not 6th, on 7th, fateful day, the day the world changed, because on that day, President Trump made an announcement that he was leaving Washington. Mm-hmm. And I knew at that point, the planet's shifting. 3 days later, on January 10th, we had this idea that Washington's loss, this is what we thought. I'm not saying it's true, but this is what I was thinking. Washington's lost, the presidency's lost, we have to defend the state. And that is how on January 10th, we came up with this idea called Defend Florida. And I think you've interviewed my colleague, Roe Grossman, or you're about to interview him. Brilliant people like him and others have joined. And we went from an idea now to 25,400 people that are part of this movement nationwide.
Oh, that's just remarkable. And so tell us a little bit about what your vision was when you and others were starting Defend Florida. What was it you were thinking you should do?
Yeah, really good. So at that, and this is another example, this is such a key question here that Cleta mentioned, because it's not about doing work, it's about effective stuff that actually delivers results. So at the time we said, all right, we got to defend the state. It was a big, broad idea. We're going to defend the state by creating a legislative firewall. How are we going to do that? We're going to educate legislators. This is, remember, I'm the guy who is completely naive, ignorant, not even knowing how ignorant I was. At least now I know how ignorant and I'm trying to reduce the gap. But nonetheless, ignorant, not really qualified. I should not be the guy doing this. But if not me, then who? And if not you, then who? That's why I made that statement. You have got to step up as well. So we had this idea to defend the state, and we had this idea to do it in a very, very general way. And so we said, we'll educate our citizens, we'll educate our legislators. And we did a lot of things. We had summits, we had virtual summits, we had people meeting together, all of which is good work. But now in hindsight, Cleta, I will just say, as the founder of Defend Florida, it was ineffective. However, a guy named Roe Grossman had this idea, and he said, we got a canvas. And I'm like, this was summer in Florida. And I'm like, Roe, remember, I'm that guy who doesn't know. So I'm not really sure what canvassing meant, but I was sure.
But you knew it was going to be hot.
It was hot, and I was sure it was something I didn't want to do. It was going to be difficult.
So as someone who's knocked a lot of doors in Oklahoma heat, I can tell you, it's not fun.
It isn't, is it?
No.
But you know,
it's worth it.
You know what Roe did? He persisted. Mm-hmm. You got to persist, folks. This is a long play game. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. He persisted. And because he persisted, we conceded. Okay, Roe, we'll canvass. Fine. So Jean and Roe led this effort of canvassing. And that has produced an effective outcome. And I can go into that a little bit, but that single decision took the entire defend movement and focused it on one specific pivot point, and stuff's been happening.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've done is we've published the Citizen's Guide to Building an Election Integrity Infrastructure, because I'm all about taking these different actions and putting them into a permanent infrastructure so that for every county in Florida, there would be a local election integrity task force. Mm. And part of it would be devoted to, you know, we have the 7 different working groups. Part of it is ongoing being at the election office. Part of it is ongoing working on voter rolls and all these different things, so that we just become part of the woodwork. We become part of the whole process in every county. That's what I think is the next step for Defend Florida.
you're so right, because this is not, we are guilty, you and I, we're both guilty of, we get a victory and we take our foot off the gas. Mm-hmm. The left does not do that.
No, they don't.
They don't know the meaning of take the foot off the gas. So they continue and they persist. And what you just laid out there in a few minutes is this long-term mm-hmm. strategy. What do you call it? We become part of the woodwork.
Yeah.
It is just part of the American culture mm-hmm. going forward. And this is so important. Now, given what you just said, I want to share some things. Can I go into like some details?
Absolutely.
So look, you're watching this, right? So if you're watching this, you have an interest in election integrity. So here's what I have observed. It doesn't mean it's the truth, but here's what I've observed. So we get involved, we get excited, we find some information out. And let me just tell you what we did at Defend Florida, because maybe you didn't do it, but this is what we did. We found a little bit of information about the folks that are accountable for managing the elections mm-hmm. in our state. In our state, we have what we call a supervisor of election.
And they're elected.
They're elected. And they're over a county, and they're the people in charge of the management of that election process in their county. They report to the state reports up to the federal level. So as we begin to find information out, people on our team, me included, we were quick to label some of these people as, oh, they're a rhino. Oh, God, they're a rhino. Evil person, bad person. And guess what? Everyone else got caught up. Yeah, they are a rhino. But this is
right.
What type of culture we were in and creating. Now, here's why I mentioned that. And I'm not saying that was invalid all the time, but on several instances, and this is why I really got to mention this, as we begin to work with these rhinos and actually meet with mm-hmm. them, we found out the rest of the story. These were hardworking patriots, many of them very focused on maybe not all of what we wanted, but certainly some of what we wanted. And what is happening is we were being perceived as a hostile attack group. They were being perceived as rhinos or worse, and we were creating friction to begin with. Now, why I mention that is this. Just a few hours ago, we got off the phone with the supervisor of election. Now, this was a 2-hour call. This is important. In this 2-hour call, we had 3 of the people that probably knew more about the election process in the state of Florida than anyone I know. It took 2 hours, but as a result of that 2-hour phone call, which we set up immediately at the front, we are here because we don't know everything there is to know about how to run an election, and we'd like to learn from you. That mm-hmm. is literally how we staged that call. At the end of that call, that supervisor election is likely to quantum leap the work that is being done in Florida within a few weeks. He's going to be able to do things that us as citizens would not be able to do. In fact, he's going to probably be able to do things that other legislators won't be able to do. But it took 2 hours on that phone call, and that 2-hour phone call was preceded by 3 months.
I was just going to say, it didn't just start the 2 hours.
3 months of relationship building.
Yep.
Now, here's a person that initially we were very negative about. But as we got to know, so look, guys, I'm a Christian. You may be watching this and you may be agnostic, or atheist, or another religion, or you might be Christian. Here's the thing I want to share with you. At the end of the day, this is going to be won the way Jesus won. And he did it one by one, relationship building, and he built enough relationships with 11 people that those 11 people change the world. So It comes down to being.
And it's loaves and fishes. It's loaves and fishes.
It is. Yeah. And it's just a small number of loaves and fishes. But that's where, if we don't focus like that, like we had with this meeting.
I absolutely, that is the thing that I'm so devoted to. And I've spent a lot of hours in my life over in county boards of elections. When I first started in politics and ran for office just out of law school, it was a long time ago in Oklahoma. And our voter rolls in our county were not automated. Fourth largest county in the state, and they were still all pens and papers. And so we had to copy everything by hand. And so I've spent a lot of time in the county election office and learned a lot that way. So I just know that the only way that we're going to make a difference is if we are in those offices all over the country. So you guys are giving us such a great example here in Florida.
And it pays off.
It pays
off. The same thing you did back then.
Yes.
Before all of this tech. Yeah. Before Zoom calls, before Instagram, before text messages, you were physically in the offices, working, but relationship building. That is exactly what it's going to take. There is no shortcut. There's no shortcut. We have taken all the stuff that Defend Florida has done, and we're about to release an ebook.
Great.
And it has eight steps to protecting your next election. And so what are the things that we cover there? We cover a number of things that I have learned out of what Cleta and her team have been teaching. I was at a Washington event back in January. Mm-hmm. My team and I are here at the Orlando event. If you're in Pennsylvania, you need to show up in the Pennsylvania event, which is happening at the end of the March. There's so many events that CPI and Who's Counting is doing. You got to get connected. But I've taken what we did, broken down 8 steps, and some of those steps are how to get your legislator to start paying attention to you when they're just giving you lip service, because I know you've had that happen.
Oh, that's a big problem. Believe me, it's a big problem everywhere.
It's frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
It is hard because they smile and nod, but how do you turn that around? That's one. Number two, how do you take your idea, your group, and how do you expand it? We have a very simple system. You can text a particular word, and I can mention that at the end if you'd like, but we have a particular word, and people are able to text in to join. Number three, how do you conduct a strategic press conference that gets the attention of elected officials? We were doing all this work that you've heard Roe say, or you will hear when you watch his interview that I described. And things were going well, Cleta, and then you know what? They stopped answering our call. They stopped returning our call. They didn't take our call. I'm talking about the elected officials that were working with us that stopped working with us.
Why do you think they stopped?
So a couple of things happened. One, the word began to get around that we are being we're being destructive. Word began to get around that what we were talking about is going to decrease voter confidence. Also, the questions that we were asking, people didn't want to answer.
Right.
So things like this began to regardless of what it was, I'm not sure exactly why, but we stopped getting that response. And so a guy named John Jaggers, who's one of the smartest strategists that we have been fortunate to get the advice of, he talked to us about how initially a politician's going to listen to you, they may like you, but until they respect you...
Or fear you,
like Cleta said, and Cleta's been doing this so long, guys, you got to be watching this podcast. You hear what Jesus said? If we knew this 5 months ago, then they wouldn't have stopped answering our call because we'd have tweaked our strategy. But we didn't know, right? We're just stumbling and fumbling along. We had the press conference, and we used that press conference to put the pressure on one person. As we announced that the press conference is happening, calls began to get returned back. Mm-hmm. The day before the press conference happened, the items that we have been wanting to move forward in election integrity, the governor announced that publicly for the first time. And I'm not saying that we're the ones that did it, because there are lots and lots of people in Florida working on the same thing, but it goes to show you how you can use press conferences to leverage pressure, if you will, to get people to take action. All of those things are broken down in this book as part of those 8 steps.
So that's great. Well, we're going to put a link to your book, if you'll let us.
Yes.
We'll put that up with this
would
podcast.
Would you please?
Yes, we will.
Would you please?
Yes, we'll absolutely.
Thank you.
We love that. We love people sharing lessons learned. So we finished the legislative session in Florida. We have a new election integrity bill that the governor promoted. Defend Florida helped were very meaningful in terms of churning out grassroots support to get the legislature to adopt it. So tell everybody, what's the next phase? What do we do next in Florida and across the country?
So, Clean, I just want to underscore what you just said. Our governor is phenomenal. This man is fearless. And I recognize that you might be in a state where you don't enjoy that.
Yeah.
That is why you have to take the actions that are promoted on this podcast so that you can move into place what you need to have in place so that regardless of where your elected officials are, they're following your desires and they're paying attention to what you're talking about. What happens next? Now, in this election bill that our governor really did, he moved on. He had to do a lot of work to get this done, get cooperation from both sides. He got it done. We're so proud of our governor. You rock, Governor DeSantis. Thank you. Senator Hudson, Representative Byrd, you guys put this together, so we're really appreciative. We didn't get everything we wanted in that. We got a lot, but not everything. So what's next is Roe Grossman is actually going to be leading part of our team to work collaboratively with the relationships that we have built in the last couple of weeks so that when the next legislative cycle, here's some things that need attention. We want to make sure that if you are going to vote in Florida, you are a U.S. citizen. Do you know that I brought my mom over from Africa? She was here for 10 years and she couldn't vote until she had to spend that time here because that's the law of the land. We cannot have a situation where someone who is not a United States citizen casts a vote. Is it unfair? Look, that is how we have decided to run this country.
That's called sovereignty.
That's called sovereignty.
Yeah.
Listen, you try to go over to Zimbabwe from the United States and vote. They're not going to let you do that. And that's where I came from. So I'm getting all worked up there. You're friendly. Let me get back. So what's next? So we've got some things that we need to do there. With regard to the supervisors of elections, some of those folks have come and collaborated with us. There are things that they need in place so that they can do what they want to do to make the election
removing barriers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You're right.
It's very important to listen to those people because they know what is needed. There are a lot of them who will give you really good ideas. That happened in Pennsylvania where the legislator who was carrying the election reform bill, they had hearings heard from all the county election offices and took into account the things that they said were needed and worked that into the bill, and then they were all supporting the bill.
See, this is really, I don't know enough of what happened in Pennsylvania, so I need to make sure that I get educated.
Well, the governor vetoed it, by the way. They had a bad governor. He vetoed it.
But all of the legwork
was done ahead of time.
So right. Another thing that we need to defend Florida is we need to be learning more about these victories that are happening in other states. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we also have something called Defend Our Union, which is this idea of groups that are already defending their own states to be able to collaborate together. You guys are leading the way with your national network. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to draw more attention to national organizations that have got local, hyper-local levels of teams that are actually achieving results. Now, you mentioned in another podcast, I heard you say this, that you believe, and as do I, the left may have more money, they may have been at this longer than we have, but they don't have the millions of principle-based, value-based people like you and I. We have to leverage that.
We do.
But in order for that to happen, we have got to come and work together in spite of our differences. That's a key. Look, we're never going to resolve our differences. We're just not. We have to figure out how to work together in spite of our differences. Defend Florida, we've got people in that organization. We've got different nationalities, different professional backgrounds, and different agendas. Not everyone at Defend Florida is focused on the same agenda, but that team's working together.
Well, I think, you know, look, we could spend hours and hours and days and days, and we will do that. We will spend hours and hours and days and days. We've got many hours.
You're
and
awesome.
Days, but it is just so important, I believe, for people to hear your story, Raj, to hear about how you were not interested in politics, and that's for somebody else. And now here you are with one of the most effective grassroots networks in America. And you've done so much, and we are so grateful for all the things that you've done. So with that, we thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for joining us. And we invite you to please share this podcast. And see us again next week on Who's Counting. Thank you for listening to Who's Counting. The Who's Counting podcast is produced by the Conservative Partnership Institute's Election Integrity Network. It is filmed and recorded at CPI Studios in Washington, D.C. Help us grow this show by sharing this episode with a friend, and be sure to subscribe and to give us a good review. We need your word of mouth, because big tech can't be trusted and tries to cancel us daily. Help fight back by visiting whoscounting.us and sign up for this podcast, for our newsletter. Become part of the Election Integrity Network.